All right, take your Bibles. Let's go to Mark 8. Mark 8. Mark 8 is another record of the healing of a blind man. It's a blind man in Bethsaida. And it's kind of an interesting study when you look at this, because Doug and I talked about this some time ago, that, you know, what healing, the type of healing that shows up and shows up time after time after time, you know, are there examples of that? And the one thing that shows up in the Gospels is the healing of the blind people, and you see that frequently. The thing that's so interesting about it is it's almost never the same. There's because it, if there were ever going to be a system, if there were ever going to be a pattern, you would think same ailment, same person doing the ministering, this would be it. But there's not. It changes every time because it's revelation. It's them doing what God tells them to do. Here in Mark 8:22, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Now, I think this is neat because they bring the blind man unto him, and they've got their idea. Okay, let's take the blind guy into Jesus, and he'll touch him. And he not only touches him, he takes him for a walk. Verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of town, presumably to get away from the crowd, the confusion, whatever else might have been going on. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. So he takes him out, leads him out of town, takes him by the hand, leads him out away from everyone else, and he spits in his eyes. And he put his hands on him, and he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. So initially, this man receives some level of deliverance, some level of healing, but you couldn't put the chart up and get 20/20 vision and read the bottom line. He's only seeing men as trees walking. He's seeing just figures, just blobs moving around, not seeing clearly. And after that, he put his hands on again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now here again, you see someone staying with the situation until the deliverance is completely had. And here, it's Jesus Christ. I mean, you couldn't have better credentials. But he stays with the situation. He's got revelation from God what to do. And it's not just lay hands on him like the blind man's friends wanted. He takes him by the hand. He leads him out of town. Once he gets him out of town, he spits in his eyes. He puts his hands on him. And he sees men as trees walking. Not complete deliverance. And so he ministers to him again, and he has him look up. And he put his, verse 25 again, and after he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him to look up, he was restored and saw every man clearly. So here you have an incremental deliverance, that as he ministered the first time, he got some healing. As he ministered yet again, he saw clearly. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. This is Bartimaeus, another healing of the blind, in Mark chapter 10, and beginning in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, or Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus Christ is walking by with this crowd of people, and here he is sitting on the wayside yelling. And people are going, shh, be quiet, stop that. You're causing a ruckus. And he just keeps yelling. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, I just think that is incredible. You know, you see somebody that has such an obvious disability, you think, I don't need revelation. I get it. I know what this person needs. Jesus Christ asking, what would you have me do? I just think that's really amazing. What would thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. What? No spit? I thought spit was part of it. No, no spit. He just said, Jesus, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. No spit. All right. John chapter 4. This is the nobleman's son. John chapter 4. Beginning in verse 46. John 4:46. So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So this is a pretty dire situation. His son's ill. He's at the point of death, so pretty critical situation. Verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Now, this is the second time that the nobleman has said to Jesus Christ, come to my place. I got this problem. My child is sick, near unto death. Come to my place. Verse 50. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. You know, I think about Naaman and the preconceived ideas of what he thought was going to happen, as Bruce taught. You know, here this man said, you need to come to my house. I got this problem. You need to come over here and take care of it. But did Jesus go to his house? No, he didn't. He didn't go anywhere with him. He just said, go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus had said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So here, the man had a need. He comes to Jesus Christ. He has a preconceived idea how Jesus Christ is going to handle this for him, what he's going to do, and it involves you come to my place because I need you to heal my child. But Jesus Christ, by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, knew what to do. And by operating the manifestation of believing, we see this miracle come to pass. We see this healing and this deliverance of the child. And we also see in this record the believing of the parent, that the father believed that which Jesus Christ had spoken. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 1. This is the record of the Pool of Bethesda. Nowhere near Maryland, I guess. That was for you, Bruce. Chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and I'm going to avoid all jokes about impotent. I hear my daughter snickering in the front row, waiting for the punchline. From about the middle of verse 3, beginning with the word withered, all the way through the end of verse 4, doesn't show up in most of the critical text. So you can kind of skip. It gets right to the multitude of impotent folk of blind and halt, and then it skips down to verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. So he'd been in this condition quite a long time. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming down, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Dun, 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 dun. You don't want to do those things on the Sabbath. So, this record has always just really astounded me, because I remember thinking that I was going to learn how to do this healing thing, and then I just would take a stroll through a hospital somewhere and just start emptying beds, you know. Hey, take that. Get up. Walk. You over there. Out. You know? I mean, and I don't think that's so crazy. I think a lot of people have thought that at some point in time. You know, there's a hand in the back. Thank you for being honest. You know, I just thought I'm going to get this thing down, and I'm just going to go clear out some wing of some hospital somewhere. But yeah, then you get to this record. Here is Jesus Christ. He's in a place where it says there's a multitude. I mean, there's a large number of people that have some very serious needs, some very serious illnesses and disabilities. And Jesus Christ heals one. Now, there's got to be a reason for that. And if Jesus Christ could heal whomever he wanted, whenever he wanted, then Jesus Christ is being arbitrary and capricious. He's just on a whim. I choose you, the rest of you go fly a kite. But that's not Jesus Christ, and that's not God. He healed one. Why? Revelation. God told him. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, which guy, which person was believing, which person was ready to receive. Operated the manifestation of believing, miracles, gifts of healing, this man received. One guy in a multitude of people with great need. That's why you have to understand the revelation manifestations, because if you don't, it just doesn't make sense. It just seems like this crazy, arbitrary, you pick one out of a crowd, heal that guy, because it's good for the revival. No, it's not that. I mean, that's cruel. That's mocking. That's unloving. that's, you know, you better sit in the front row or you might not be the one picked at the next revival. So come down front, brother. Jesus Christ healed one man because his father gave him that information. That one person that was believing to be healed. Not arbitrary, not capricious. It was according to as God had directed him. Look at John chapter 9. This is, once again, someone is blind. This is the man that's blind from his birth. John chapter 9, verse 1. It says, and Jesus passed by, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? That's kind of the human nature in people. They always want to know who's to blame. That's what, it's a joke in our house, so we always say it's important to know who to blame. And he's, you know, that's religion most of the time. They always want to know who's to blame. You know, well, you know, how'd you get yourself in this mess? Jesus Christ said, he answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And people, religious people, have taken this so far as to say, God planned for this man to be blind from his birth just so that he could have his son do this. Well, talk about being cruel. That's not the action of a God who is all light, a God who is love, a God in whom there is no darkness, neither shadow of turning. You know, to interpret this verse to mean that God made this poor fellow blind from birth just so Jesus Christ could come along and do this is contrary to the very nature of God. So you just can't read it that way. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. Here you go. We got spit again. I like spit. It's kind of fun, isn't it? You know, spitting on the ground. Don't you want to heal somebody by spitting on them? You know, or maybe licking them on their forehead. You know? That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? I don't know what that revelation would look like. But yeah. So. Okay, we were spitting on the ground. Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and did something completely different here. He said unto him, go wash. And go wash someplace very specific. Go wash in the pool of Shalom, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. So here, in this case, you do have a little bit of similarity with some of the other cases. There's spit involved. But this time he makes clay of the spit and he puts it on his eyes and he gives him some very specific instructions that he is to act on. He is to take action on the instruction given. He is to go to a specific pool. He is to wash his eyes. And as the man follows through on the revelation that Jesus Christ gives him, the instructions that he gives him, he goes, he washes, and he receives his deliverance. Kind of a Naaman sort of thing. Go dip yourself 7 times. This guy, go wash in the pool of Shiloh. Acts chapter 3, we sang about this one. Oop, too far. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and asked alms of them that entered into the temple. And so this guy, he's been laid there daily. And it says later in the record that he was above 40 years of age, this guy was. So this was not a new thing. He had been there a long time. And one of the things that I think is remarkable about this is sometimes we have a need in our lives. You know, we got a headache. My daughter was teaching a couple weeks ago, and she said, you know, we have a headache, and we pray to God, and we go, okay, God, just thank you for healing my headache. And 5 minutes later, the headache's not gone, so we reach for the aspirin, you know. We tend to get so impatient with God. This man has had this condition for a long time. He's been lame from birth, and he's over 40 years old, and he's laid at the gate. Verse 3, who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked and all. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. We're seeing a miracle take place here. This man, whatever in his feet and ankle bones were supposed to be there, weren't. I mean, he could not walk from birth. And here we have, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising. And so you have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits. They had to know whether or not this guy's malady was spiritual in nature. Was there a spirit to be cast out, or was it physical in nature? You have the manifestation of believing. You have miracles. You have gifts of healing, all in this one record. You know, and it's like it's been said, it's not really a checklist. You know, I got that one, word of knowledge. Okay, got that one, word of wisdom. That sometimes it happens so quickly and so fluidly that you just move from one to the next, doing that which God instructs you to do, and then there's the results. Go to Acts chapter 9. We saw part of this record the other day. In Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 32, it says, and it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. So in this situation, Peter goes in and commands this guy to get up. He doesn't lay hands on him, doesn't pray beforehand. He walks in by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, commands, and in this case, he commands, and the healing is received. But in this same context, we read the other day, when he went down to Joppa, he gets down to verse 40, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed and turned unto the body and said, Tabitha, arise. So in this one chapter, you've got Peter doing two healings. The first one, he simply walks in by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. He just commands this to come to pass. There's no prayer. There's no putting people out. There's just, he gets the green light to just command this to come to pass. In the end of the chapter, we see that he puts them all forth, kneels down, he prays, and then he turns to the body and says, Tabitha, arise. And then the last one I want to look at is in Acts chapter 20. And this one I think is really kind of unique. Some of you can relate to it because it's about somebody falling asleep because someone taught too long. You don't know anything about that. That's right. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 9. This is why we don't allow anybody to sit in the windows up here. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep as Paul was long preaching. See, it happened even back then. He sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now, that's a pretty serious illness. When you're taken up dead, that's serious. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." Now, here's a situation where this guy falls out of the third loft and he dies. And Paul goes down and embraces him. Now, to anybody just watching this situation, it would have looked just like that's all Paul did. We see just reached down and he grabbed this person and he hugged him. He didn't pray. He didn't, you know, lay hands on, you know. He didn't command him to get up. He just went down and hugged him. Why? Because God told him to. Because he had word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I don't think he needed discerning spirits, because unless he, I suppose he could have. Manifestation of believing, miracles, and certainly healing. He went down, and the outward action of Paul ministering the deliverance in this situation looked as simple as just taking this young man and hugging him. He just gave him a big hug. Didn't say, "Get up in the name of Jesus Christ." Didn't say, "Talitha kumi." None of that. He just hugged him. Why? Revelation. No other explanation. And he received him to life. Paul went down, verse 10 again, and fell on him, embracing him. "Trouble not yourself, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even... Yeah, he was still talking a long while. Yeah, like, she's going, "Well, didn't he learn?" You know, he was talking so long to begin with. Somebody died. And so anyway, verse 11 again. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And when they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. So the thing that's important to see is that in all of these wonderful records of healing, the operation of the manifestation, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, this manifestation of believing, miracles, gifts of healing, that in each situation it's unique. It's in each situation as revelation is given, as guidance is given from God, what to do in that situation, that's what we do. We go to God, we ask God for direction, we ask God for instruction, and when God gives the instruction, it's usually the right thing to do, is to believe what God says and act on it. That's smart. And that's the way these things work. In every situation, it's different. As I said, you look at all these different occurrences of different blind people healed. Some places, it's a devil spirit, and they just cast out the devil spirit. Other places, there's spit. And you know I like spit. And you know, other places, it's just a command. He just looks, and he commands them to receive their sight. So, Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your word and just how plain and simple that it is. Father, thank you for this magnificent gift of Holy Spirit that you've given us, that we can have it in our lives, we can learn to operate it, and we can glorify you in the results, that we can see you work in greater ways in our lives. Father, just thank you for everyone here. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.